Mars is an elastic planet. Things bounce, things cohere, and things snap. A square has four equal sides, a pentagon five. This is taught wherever classical geometry is observed, and long may it be so. But what lies in between? Is there a shape that has four and a half equal sides? Surely not. But in 1980, in an unbroadcast edition of Think of a Number, Johnny Ball and his young audience learned otherwise.
Righto, now if I draw a shape, any old shape, on the board, of course. That's an odd shape, isn't it? I've never seen that one before. No, that's no good. Somebody else, what's your name?
Jason.
Oh, right, Jason. Here, you have the pen, and you draw a shape. Any shape you like. Good. Now, that's the one I did, isn't it? I don't think that works, but Penny, can you come down a minute, please?
Okay, Johnny, stand by.
I was doing this piece on internal angles, and we just had a triangle and a circle, and then I drew this odd shape.
It had four and a half sides, didn't it?
Well, that's the only way to describe it. It had four and a half sides. I thought, that's not right, that can't be right. And I got a kid from the audience, and he drew the same thing. And then we said, well, what's going on? I mean, it's very odd. Well, we stopped the show.
And that piece never went out?
Oh, the whole show never went out. Because of that shape, I reckon. I mean, I can't think of anything else. They just pulled me and showed an old deputy dog instead.
Johnny Ball is interviewed by Eric Poems, a researcher on ITV's Is It Really So Strange? Poems has just completed a piece on spontaneous human digestion, a rare phenomenon in which people die from being eaten from the inside by their own stomachs, and is looking for a lighter topic. He names the peculiar shape the Ballagon, after its apparent creator, and begins his investigation into the incident. The producer of that edition of Think of a Number is Penny Darlouri, a collector of forged McCoys. In her younger days, she achieved brief notoriety for having the first fingernail tattoo in Britain, which read, Born to be Filed.
Yeah, that show. You want me to talk about it?
Yes, if you could, please.
Sure. Well, we'd just done a bit about these circles, where you have to draw wedges underneath them or they just roll off the page. And Johnny wanted to do a thing about other shapes.
I've seen the footage. What happened afterwards, sir?
I really don't know. I lost my job on the show 2 weeks later. They said the shape thing had nothing to do with it, and now, well, I've been here ever since.
Here, for Penny Darlouri, for the last 13 years, has been the pro-celebrity shipping forecast that goes out on the World Service every Friday.
North at Cira, south at Cira, westerly backing southwesterly 6 to gale 8, declining 5, mainly fair.
Lundy, Fastnet, Irish Sea, westerly severe gale 9, becoming 18, showers dying out.
No, Henry, it's becoming 8.
What did I say?
Becoming 18. Don't worry, that's only the strongest wind ever recorded.
OK, let's go again.
Penny's ex-husband is Stephen Darlouri, the famous photographer. Poems catches up with him at his new exhibition of the souls he has stolen from native tribes around the world.
You're famous for your shots of Cambodia.
Yeah, I took a number of shots of the aftermath of the American raids, where they dropped the hot jam on the villages. First there were the burns, and this was real hot jam. And then the stickiness, of course, that covered everything. Then the flies came. Awful human misery. It was barbaric.
And hot jam has never been used as a weapon of war since?
No, thank God.
I wanted to ask you about this shape. Do you recognise it?
Huh. Yeah, that's... Hey, who the hell are you?
Eric Poems. I think it's why your ex-wife lost her job. Now, can you explain
Mr.
why
Poems,
this would have...
If I were you, I'd leave this well alone.
Come on,
get this guy out of here.
All I wanted to do...
A chance meeting in a bookstore sets Poems off in a new direction. The man he meets is William Toddington, an investigative journalist with a colourful background. In 1969, he is expelled from Monte Carlo for cheating at cards when he introduces a fifth suit, oblongs, into a poker game and declares five of a kind.
Well, I got back and started my work on the Titanic. You heard of it?
The ship. The one that was hit by an iceberg.
An artificial iceberg. They've been using them for centuries. You want to know why the Titanic was sunk?
Yes.
Wallpaper.
Toddington shows Poems documents and letters relating to American wallpaper in the first decade of this century.
We are behind the British and Europeans in every respect. In design, we trail them by 5 years. In paste, by at least 10. The whole American industry needs an injection of European wallpaper, and the maiden voyage of the Titanic provides us with the ideal method of transporting it across the Atlantic without arousing suspicion.
The American agents ensured that every cabin had different wallpaper, and virtually all of them had this shape. The Bourlogon, if that's what you call it, yeah. That's why they had to sink it. They couldn't allow the Americans access to Bourlogon designs. Oh, they eventually got British wallpaper as a precondition for entering the First World War, but I'm pretty sure none of these designs were part of the deal.
Toddington's knowledge of the conspiracy to suppress geometry receives little attention. So for a while, he retires from his work and begins to create obscure pieces of performance art.
I'd go out into the countryside at weekends, and when I saw a haystack in a field, I'd hide a needle in it.
Why?
I don't really know. I was very confused at the time, and I think I was proving to myself how difficult this research was. And besides, a bit of fresh air, you know.
Eventually, in 1987, the Tate Gallery in London buys one of Toddington's haystacks for £30,000. Entitled The Difficulty of Shapes in Wallpaper, the sale enables him to move to Torquay, where he becomes the thinking man's paranoid.
I'm paying people to sabotage my life. If I'm going to have fears of a conspiracy against me, I want to know they're justified.
But you're behind the conspiracy.
Exactly. Who better? I can always keep an eye on myself then.
Poems turns up little else of value in his interviews with Toddington and is no nearer to finding who is behind the shape conspiracy. He now traces Jason Tegelbury, the boy who assisted Johnny Ball, to the Four Corners Sports Club in the London borough of Shortney. Now a blow billiards champion, Jason is keen to show off his skills.
Ah, that's 5 points. Now I've got to use some spin on this one. Oh, so close!
Do you remember drawing this shape on Think of a Number?
Oh, yeah. No, not really. Why? Never seen it. What shape? Who? What? Got the wrong bloke, mate. Sorry.
Tegelbury has recently been working for a firm of rearrangement engineers, whose director is a name Poems recognises. He is Ken Iglast, whose aliases include Willis Norble, Ken Norble, and Iggy Kenball. In the 1970s, he works at the BBC under Penny Dalloury.
Penny Ken, yes.
Rearrangement engineers are employed by one set of feuding neighbours to break into the other party's homes and move their possessions around.
What's happened, love?
Well, the settee wasn't here for a start. And look at the TV. It's meant to be in that corner, isn't it?
What about the kitchen?
Oh, pretty bad. Plates put in drawers, cutlery in the oven, and they put the fridge on the shelf.
Who do this? I mean, it's going to take ages to sort this all out.
Well, we hide keys down the back of the sofa, put salt in the sugar bowl, turn duvet covers inside out.
But it's not illegal.
Oh, no, it's not illegal. You'll find us in the Yellow Pages. Loads of people are turning to us these days.
Iglast's brother, Wayne, is a successful thriller writer and chronicler of some of the Cold War's nastier excesses. In his 1985 novel, The Warm Room, made into a miniseries by the American network TKO, he expounds some of his theories.
You see, Bob, those Soviets, they don't fight fair.
What do you mean? Give me details.
Okay, but be ready for a shock. Behind the Iron Curtain, they're using in utero advertising.
Utero? What's that?
Well, let's just say Madison Avenue would kill to have this technology. All right, communist women, right? They go into hospital, they have their wombs lined with propaganda, and then they get pregnant. Imagine, that baby can't go anywhere for 9 months, and all it sees is obey the party, and the West is evil, and strive for a communist future, oh child of the socialist millennium. Stuff like that, the kid is brainwashed before it's even born. You see what we're up against?
What? Oh, I can't believe this, I mean, jeez!
The producer of The Warm Room is Eddie Margin, the millionaire who introduced tooth massage to Western Europe in the early 60s. In 1973, he sinks a lot of money into the failed part work, Practical Home Voodoo.
When things get you down, when someone gets in your way, when they get on your nerves, get the magazine that shows you how to get your own back. Practical Home Voodoo builds up in 26 weekly parts into a comprehensive guide to improving your life through Caribbean mysticism. We'll show you how to control objects, raise zombies, and inflict pain over a long distance.
Ow!
And before long, you'll be doing it like in Live and Let Die. Only 45p, free doll and pins with issue one.
The photographs in Practical Home Voodoo are taken by Stephen Darlouri. But when Poems tries to confront him about this by telephone, he is rudely treated.
No! I've nothing more to tell you about anything! Goodbye!
On the verge of giving up his research, Poems reviews his work to date and stumbles across a previously overlooked remark by Toddington.
Yeah, but of course the person who really knows about this stuff is Lucy McRabin. Sugar. Lucy McRabin. Sugar. McRabin.
Lucy McRabin is widely known as the authoress of Life is a Terminal Disease You Get from Your Parents, a self-help book for those who are unhappy with their lot.
This is the address. It's a clairvoyance shop. Knock twice if you want to come over the threshold. Hello? Is there anybody there?
McRabin invites Poems into her house and spins a story more shocking than the researcher had been led to expect.
It all goes back years. Gordon at Khartoum. The only reason he fell was because when he ordered the delivery of 500 guns, he was sent buns, currant buns.
Yes, that's well known. It was an administrative error, wasn't it?
Do you think so? 1957, Anthony Eden stepped down due to ill health. But he got too near the truth, like Gordon. You know what his last speech was about? The shape of things today. He'd known about the hot J-bomb the Americans were developing as well and was going to expose the whole thing. Toddington's told you about the Titanic? When they raise it, the truth will come out, you know. The writing will be quite literally on the wall.
Oh, you mean the shapes? The Bolagon?
Yes, the Johnny Ball incident. Its real name is the Quadridemi Altair. I could show you the 6.5-sided shape. And there's one with 13¾ equal sides too. They all exist, but they've been suppressed. Suppressed for years.
Why? But by whom?
Did you know they're drugging our electricity?
Really?
Why do you think so many appliances go wrong? Look, here's my television on their drugged electricity. And here it is with my homemade electricity.
I've never seen that effect before. So all our mains electricity is being drugged?
And batteries. But I'll bet you're wondering who the people behind the conspiracy are. The last people you'd ever suspect, actually.
But that is where Poems' tape runs out. And it seems the names of the conspirators behind strange shapes, hot jam and drugged electricity must remain a mystery. However, if you want to learn more, we recommend the following books.
Covering the Titanic by William Toddington. The Warm Room by Ken Iglast, also available on video. Electricity, the Drugs Donkey by Lucy McRabin.
And invite you to make up your own mind.
Elastic Planet was written by Ben Moore and featured the voices of Oliver Postgate, Dan Strauss, Michael Troughton, Neil Malarkey, Kerry Shale, Cyril Jenkins, Jamie Owen and Ben Moore, with Johnny Ball and Henry Cooper as themselves. The producer was John Naismith.